In the opening verse of this book of Job chapter 14, it says this, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I don't think there's anyone tonight can argue with that. You and I, born of a woman, our mother, the Bible says we have few days. Remember we sang last night, life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf, being time. Friend, all we have are, at best, few days. We're full of trouble. Somebody said one time, we're either going into trouble, going through trouble, or coming out of trouble, but it never seems to be far away from us. But the Word of God says, few days and full of trouble. And then it says in verse number 10, but man dieth. Now tell me, who can argue with that? You and I know that that truth is preached day after day in our community. We see that man dieth. For the Word of God says we all must needs die. So there's facts that we can't deny. Friend, you're a fool to argue with those facts. You have been born and you've got few days full of trouble, but nevertheless, but you'll come to die. I don't know when. I don't know how, but this I do know, you will, so will I, save Christ's return. And then the Word of God says this, if you look at verse number 10 again, man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? In other words, my friend, where are you going? Because you see, this is not the end. I know the ungodly man wants it to be the end. I know that he doesn't want to think about it hereafter because he has nothing for it. He's going to take a journey through life and then out into God's eternity, friend, but he doesn't want to believe that. He wants to believe he lies down like a dog and put him into the grave, and somebody says, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's the body, friend. But God requires a soul. God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this. You're not over. It's not over, friend. You're not finished. This life's not all there is. There's God's eternity. When I read the scriptures, it says here, where is he? Well, the Bible makes it clear that you can die one of two ways. The book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, it says this, blessed or happy. Happy are the dead who die in the Lord. Let me tell you, my friend, you see, whenever you're saved, it doesn't take you a moment earlier. But praise God, all you have to do when the Lord calls is just go. You're going home. We sang that we're going home to glory soon to see the city bright. And thank God, blessed or happy is the man who dies in the Lord. And when a person saved, my friend, my, there's happiness there. What a comfort it is to know that your loved one's at home with the Lord. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Listen to this, that where I am, where is he? Where Jesus is if you're saved. Where I am, there he shall be also. Thank God we have nothing to fear because we're going to meet Jesus. Have you read at the bottom of an obituary notice these words, at home with the Lord? In my Father's house, where's the Father's house, friend? It's home. It's home. And thank God if you're saved tonight, you don't need to worry. You're going home to be with the Lord. I remember as a young preacher when I was 18, I went to Belfast and one of the duties I had was visiting the sick and going around the homes of the congregation. Remember going into a little home off Hunter Street, off the Donegal Road. A wee man that we had the joy of leading to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember going into this home one day, and his daughter said, "Daddy's upstairs. He was out of hospital and was back home again." She said, "Come on up to him." And I remember going up the wee stairs, just a wee two-bedroom house, and went up the stairs and went into this little room, sat down at the side of his bed. Then in the midst of our conversation, he turned to his daughter and he said, "Noelle, I want to go home. I want to go home." And she said, "Daddy, but you are at home. You've left the hospital, Daddy. You're now, Mommy's downstairs, and you're my sister's downstairs. Daddy, you are at home." "No, no," he said, "Noelle." And he pointed upward. He said, "No, Noelle, I want to go home to be with Jesus." Freddie had no fear. Nothing to be afraid of. Because death holds no terror for the child of God. For the Bible says, blessed or happy. Happy. You die happy when you're dying in the Lord, because you're going home. Where is he? Jesus says, "Where I am." Tell me, is that where you're going? If God was to call you tonight from the scene of time, is that where you're going, friend? I said you'll either die in the Lord. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse number 21, Jesus says this, "I go my way." Jesus had been with them, and then he turned and he said, "I'm leaving you." He said unto them again, because he had said it before. He challenged them before. And now he's saying it for the last time. He says, "I say unto you again, I go my way. And ye shall die in your sin." And whither I go, where I'm going, you can't come. You can't come. Friend, let me tell you, you're not going home. You're going to hell. Heaven is home. Hell's never home, friend. And yet you'll be there forever. Where I go, you can't come. See the difference? He says, "Where I am, there ye may be also." You're going to be with Christ. You're going to look into his face, see him face to face with Christ, my Savior. Or friend, you're going to God's eternity, that where he is, you cannot come. Now, where are you going? Because you're on that journey to one of those two places right now. As you see, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you're on your way to either heaven or hell. And if you'd close your eyes in death as you sit in that seat, my friend, let me tell you this, where you're ready for, that's exactly where you're going. Where does a man go? Where does a woman go when they die, friend? They go where they're ready for. And if you're not saved, you're ready for hell. And if you're saved, glory to God, you're ready for heaven. Hallelujah. And one, you'll be happy. Blessed or happy are the dead that die in the Lord. And if you're not saved, friend, you'll never know happiness. The blackness, the darkness of hell forever, where the worm dieth not, says Jesus, and the fire is never quenched. And you're in one of those places, one of those two places now. Right now. So where are you going, friend? Thank God heaven is a place of reunion. I love that chapter 16 of the book of John's Gospel. Jesus Christ talks about
A little while you'll not see me. And then he says this to his disciples in John 16, verse 22. I love these words. He says, I will see you again. I will see you again. And thank God one day, those who are saved will meet our saved loved ones again in the Father's house, at home. Anne's here tonight, and her mother and father were diagnosed with cancer and said a short time of each other, and her mom passed away. Shortly after that, some months after that, her daddy came to the end of the journey too. We came home from across the water, and her father was in hospital, in Banbridge Hospital. I remember going into the hospital ward, and I lifted his Bible. He was lying there unconscious, couldn't speak. I lifted his Bible, and in the back of his Bible, there were white sheets at the back of the Bible, and in the meetings down there in Money Slay, and he was the clerk of session, he used to lead the singing before the service. And for quick reference, he had the numbers of the hymns on that white sheet at the back. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and would you be free from your burden of sin? Have you been to Jesus? The old gospel hymns that they would sing before the gospel evening service. But he had one of them circled. Remember standing there at the side of his bed. His wife Edith had passed on, as said, some 15 months before that. And one of those hymns he had circled around. And the hymn was Face to Face with Christ My Savior. And then he had a little mark over to the side of it, and this was what he had written. Beside that hymn, that is where my darling Edith is today. Face to face with Christ. And I will meet you again. I'll see you again. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. I will see you again. Hallelujah. We're going to see him. Face to face. Now we look through it last darkly. But then face to face. Now we know in part. But praise God. Then shall we know even as also we are known. And we're going to be like him. In his presence. Forever. But tonight, friend, I want to talk to you who are not saved. I want to tell you where you're going. And it's not me that's telling you, friend. I'm just simply the preacher. I want you to take the words of Jesus. What did he say? Because, friend, that's all that matters. Is what does the Master say? The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want to go to God's word tonight, and I want to hear, oh, blessed Jesus, let me hear what you have to say about eternity for the unconverted. Do you know, my friend, when Jesus was in this earth, and in the Savior's ministry, do you know that he preached more on hell than he did in heaven? What's happened to pulpits today? What's happened? This preacher seemed to be afraid to mention this anymore. They seem to debunk hell. It doesn't matter. They don't tell it anymore. I remember going to a home 2 years ago. It was coming to Christmas, and a man asked, he was 92 years of age, he asked to see me. Didn't belong to my congregation, belonged to a complete different denomination, but he sent to see me. I went into his home and I sat there for some while, and he said, Mr. McCray, I used to hear you preach whenever you were a young lad. I went up to the hill to hear you preach. And he says, you know what troubled me? Haven't been there in many, many years, but I never forgot what you preached. He said, my minister came to see me the other day, and I asked him a question. I said, tell me, why do you not preach on hell and about meeting God and your sin? He said, you know what my minister said? My congregation wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me. And then he said to me, Mr. McCrae, tell me, 92 years of age, tell me, how can I be sure of heaven? There, sitting in his living room, appointed him God's way of salvation. Led him to Christ. He's in eternity now. Passed away some months ago. But thank God he's in heaven, not in hell. Yes, you say, but preacher, surely you couldn't love people to tell that. Why do you stand in the pulpit? It seems to me as if you're heartless when you stand and look into the eyes of a congregation and to tell some poor lost soul sitting here in this meeting that if you die in your sin, you're going to hell. Why do you do it, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because God told me. God told my friend. Paul said to young Timothy, he says, Timothy, you preach the word. Book of Ezekiel chapter 33, God says, son of man, warn them from me. And if the preacher doesn't want to preach the whole counsel of God, if he doesn't want to be faithful to souls, then get out of the pulpit. You have no right to be there. You're not there to have a little homily or tell them what you think. You're there to preach the word. And God says, warn them from me. And then this is what God says. And if you don't warn them from me, says God, I'll require their blood at your hand. And I tell you tonight, there's a multitude of preachers and their hands are bloodstained in the souls of men and women in their congregation. And rather than being faithful to God, they let their souls go to hell. And God says, I require their blood at your hand. Yes, God says, warn them from me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Friend, I tell you this, God's word doesn't play around with your soul. Sin's an awful thing. Sin will take you to a lost eternity forever and ever. And I beg you in God's name, I endeavor in God's name to do my duty to reason with you. To come to Jesus Christ, because there's a mighty Savior. There's a Savior that's willing to save you from your sin. Why do you preach this message? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I love your soul. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to go to hell. God sent his son to keep you out of it. He sent his darling son from heaven's glory to the cross of shame to keep you out of hell, man. And that daughter says, God so loved. He loved you. And he loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his darling son to Calvary's cross to die in your guilty room. You know, if you saw a man walking towards a precipice, and you saw him there, he seems to be caught up with so many things. He doesn't see the danger. He's on the verge of the precipice. And somebody says, why don't you tell him? Do you say, he looks too happy? He wouldn't want me to tell him about his danger. I'd only alarm him. I'd only disturb him. He looks so content. So what do you do, friend? Just let him go on.
drop over the precipice, and then look down over the side and say, what a tragedy. And you helped him to go there.
You helped him to go, friend. Because you knew he was headed to it, but you didn't tell him. If there's a house burning, and there's a wee family lying in their bed sleeping at night, and the house is on fire, let me tell you, do you walk on by, friend?
Or did you try to raise the alarm and get them rescued?
You walk on by. It's no reason why it should bother me. Let them sleep on. And the fire burns them to cinders. You're guilty. You're guilty. No, you don't love them, friend. Let me tell you, that's heartless. That's a man that is without a heart. He's a heart like a stone, that he'd rather the fires burn than to alarm the person and get them out. And yet, preachers tonight know the fires of hell are burning. And yet, rather than alarm them, they let them go on. They wouldn't like me doing it. They wouldn't want me to preach this way. And they go to hell. A religious professor at Chicago University Divinity School, he delivered a message at Harvard entitled, Hell's Disappeared, and no one noticed. There's a problem with that, friend. It hasn't disappeared. It's in the book. And when you stand before God, you'll find it hasn't disappeared. For hell's real. And the man or woman, young person who dies in their sin, they go to the darkest, deepest hell. There was an army chaplain. Young lads were about to go into the battle. One turned to the chaplain and said to him, sir, do you believe there's a hell? The chaplain says, oh, no, I do not. One of the young lads spoke up and said, sir, if you do not believe there's a hell, then we don't need you. If there's no hell, I don't need you. And if there's a hell, we don't need you to lead us astray. Then what does God say? The lovely Lord Jesus that went to the cross of Calvary, that hung on that center tree, what does he say? Turn to Luke chapter 16. This is God speaking now. This is the Lord speaking. Forget about McCrae. This is Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, it says here, if you go to verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now notice this. Some people try to suggest that this is a parable. No, it is not. This is not a parable. And I'll prove it to you. In no parable did Jesus Christ ever name the name of a man. But Jesus told this story. And in that story, he talked about Abraham, he talked about Moses, he talked about Lazarus. There was only one name left out. There was a certain rich man. He's not named. You say, did the Lord make a mistake?
And this is a real incident that the Lord Jesus is talking about. He has two men and they're headed to God's eternity. And he says there's a certain rich man and then there's a poor man and his name's Lazarus. Did the Lord make a mistake? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. The Bible tells me that the shepherd, the good shepherd, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. It tells me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 20, that our names are written in heaven. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, whose names are in the book of life. And the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's why he called Lazarus by name, because he was one of his. His name was in heaven. In actual fact, the Bible says that our names are engraved in the palms of his hands. And the Lord can never forget his children, friend, because our names are engraved in the palms of the Savior's hands. And as he holds up those holy hands before his Father to intercede for us, thank God he's praying for you and me. They're in his family, those who are saved. Yes, he knows his name. And that's why he called Lazarus by name, because he was one of his. But why did he not call the rich man by name? Because the Bible tells us, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, sinner, I never knew you. I never knew you. Your name doesn't matter. Your name's not written in heaven. Your name's not engraved in the palms of the Savior's hands. Your name's not in the Lamb's book of life. No, sinner, I never knew you. But he called his own by name. Maybe tonight you feel that nobody knows you or nobody cares about you, friend. That's a lie. The Lord knows all about you. He knows your name. He knows your name. And thank God he calls his own by name and leadeth them out. You notice these two men, one had everything good in life. He fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in purple. We haven't time to go into this. But for life, he had everything that he desired, friend. Notice, he fared sumptuously, lavishly every day. It was good. But then look at verse 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and he lay at the gate of that rich man, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And the only friend he had was the dog. Because notice, he desired the crumbs, and many times he never got them. He never got through the gate. He never got to the front door. He lay at the gate, begging. He wasn't lazy, friends. Listen, his body was full of sores, ulcerating sores. And the Bible says he was laid at his gate. In other words, he was taken there and left to beg for crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And then the wee dog came. And the wee dog licked his sores. It says in verse number 22, it says, and it came to pass the beggar died. Well, you can understand that, can't you? He's been starving there at the gate. His body's wrecked with sores. The beggar dies. No funeral. You see, the body of that poor old man, friend, would have been put on the garbage tip. That's where the body would have been put, just dumped. Nobody carried him. But notice, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Thank God he had a heavenly escort. There wasn't a man. Nobody wanted to know him. Nobody wanted to have him. All alone. But praise God, when he closed his eyes on death, he was escorted to paradise. Thank God, escorted by a heavenly escort into the presence of God. And then it says, the rich man also died, verse 22, and was buried. Oh yes, he had a funeral, all right. And everybody attended that funeral talked about the greatness of this man, friend. If you had heard the sermon that was preached at his gravesite, he was a hero. Because a great man. But then Jesus said this, look at verse 23. And in hell. No heavenly escort, friend. Yes, carried. His body was carried. And was carried to the grave and put into the depths of the earth. And a big stone would be put up on it. His name written across it. To be remembered by all. But Jesus said, he was buried and in hell. In hell. Now very quickly tonight, I want you to notice that hell is a place of terrifying reality. It says he lifted up his eyes. You see, there's consciousness here. There's no soul sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. When a man dies and the soul leaves, he either goes to heaven or he goes to hell. No purgatory. And he's conscious. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he ought to know he is the Lord of eternity. The eternal God. And he says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Terrifying reality. He saw what he never saw before. One moment in hell, friend, and he realized, I'm lost. I'm lost. He never saw it before. This man was not a religious man. Let me tell you, the Bible, you read on, he talks about testimony. He talks about repentance. He knows the truth. But he went to hell. Maybe there's someone sitting in this meeting tonight, let me tell you, and you know the truth. You have heard the gospel perhaps from your youngest day, and you've been taught the word of God, and you know what God has got to say, but you do not realize in the depth of your soul, your spiritual situation, you don't realize you're lost. Your sin. At the funeral service of Malcolm Forbes, his son addressed the congregation, and then he addressed his father at the coffin. And this is what he said. Dad, it's been a hell of a party. Thanks for the trip, Dad. Let me tell you, my friend, his dad was in hell. And party was over. And I'll tell you tonight, God has the power to say it tonight to you, party's over. Game's up. You're not fooling around with your soul anymore. You're not playing around with the gospel anymore. And he opened his eyes and he saw, I'm lost. Lost in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He had a full view of his life, wasted life. But his eyes are open. Too late. Too late. Too late shall be the cry, friend. The Christ of God has walked on by. Then shall ye call, Book of Proverbs chapter 1, I'll not answer. Then you'll seek me, but you'll not find me. He lifted up his eyes and hell. But notice secondly, it's a place of tormenting memories. Look at that verse again. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Look at verse 28. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell's a place of torment, friend. Torment. The fires of hell are real. The Lord was not saying something about eternity if it wasn't real. No, here's a man and he cries out, I am tormented in this flame. I think Jesus was joking. I think the Lord Jesus Christ just put this in the book, friend, for a bit of a joke. This is real. And the man or woman that goes to hell is tormented. You heard me say before, that night when my uncle died, his last words on earth were these, crying, oh hell, hell, hell. And it was over. No, friend. It was only started. The torments were only beginning. And then, son, remember. Look at verse 25. Son, remember. Remember thou in thy lifetime. Yes, he took him back to his life. And friend, that's what you'll be judged on. Your lifetime. Your lifetime of sinning. Your lifetime of Christ rejecting. You know, you don't take money to hell, friend. You take your memory. You take your memory. Son, remember. In verse number 28, he said, that he may testify unto them. He heard testimonies. He remembered. And then if you look at verse number 30, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He'd heard the message of repentance and he remembered it in hell. But he didn't repent. He heard the testimonies, but he had none. Son, remember. Down in hell tonight, Felix remembers Paul's three-pointed message. Temperance and righteousness and judgment to come. And Felix remembers that as Paul preached That day, he trembled. It shook him to his core. But he remembered the trembling past, and he went on in his sin. But in hell, he remembers the message. Agrippa, when Paul turned to him and he begged him, he said, "Oh, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." And Agrippa said, "Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Down in hell, he remembers that word, almost, almost there. But I didn't make it. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you remember nights you sat in meetings and you were like Felix, you trembled, you were afraid. You felt as if God was going to take you out in God's eternity. Jonathan Edwards, as he preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and as the preacher preached the word, my friend, that night, the men and women sitting in the pew felt the very pews moving and onto them, and the thought they were falling into hell, and they cried out, "Preacher, stop preaching and lead us to Christ." Yes, they trembled. But that's all happened. Now you can sit in gospel meeting, you don't tremble the same. You're almost persuaded. You remember that night? You almost raised that hand to indicate your desire. You wanted to be saved. But you kept it down. And the devil said, "Not tonight. Not tonight, lad. Not tonight. Some other night." And those nights have passed, friend. And Agrippa remembers, almost persuaded. But I'm lost. I'm lost. Judas Iscariot, he remembers those 30 pieces of silver. He thought he was the big fellow and he was taking the 30 pieces of silver to sell Jesus to the enemy. And then he remembers how he came down when his guilty conscience couldn't let him keep the money, and he threw the money down and he said, "I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood." And he remembers the laughter of the men that he sold Christ to. And he remembers what they said. "What's that to us?" And he went out to hell. And tonight, he remembers those 30 pieces of silver. That's what I sold Jesus for. That's what I sold my soul for. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you selling your soul for? Maybe it's less than 30 pieces of silver. Another drink! Another dance! Another relationship! And you go to hell with it all. What a fool. I played the fool. I've heard exceedingly. Son, remember. Time's away, friend. Listen, hell's a place of unanswered prayer. You notice he prayed. Notice I never mentioned he prayed in time. He waited until he went to hell to start to pray. And he prayed for relief. Didn't pray for escape, for he knew there was none. There's no exit. There's a way in, friend. There's no way out of hell. There's no return. There's no second chance. There's the only run you're getting. And he cried, "Have mercy on me. Father Abraham,
have mercy on me. I am tormented. Oh, that the torment would get over. Oh, that the torments of the flames would pass. Have mercy. Listen, friend.
God had offered him mercy in time, but he didn't want it. He didn't want God's mercy. He didn't need God's mercy, he felt. But now he's crying. Crying in hell for relief. And then he cried and prayed for his relatives. Look at verse 28. I have five brethren. Oh, send them. Send Lazarus to my five brothers. And here's a message from hell, friend. Listen to me carefully. Here's a message from hell. From the rich man in hell to his five brothers. Don't come. Don't come. If you can put your ear to the trapdoor of hell tonight, dear sinner, the lost would say, oh, don't come. Don't come to the place of torment. He prayed that Lazarus would dip his finger in water. Just dip his finger in water and put it in my tongue. For I'm tormented in this flame. Be the wee man in Macrofelt. He's lying in my Ulster hospital in the intensive care unit. And I went in to see him and he said to me, Mr. McRae, I would love a drink of water. And they won't give it. My mouth's so dry. He said, but you go up and ask the nurse. And I went up to the station in the intensive care and I said, nurse, wee Willie's down there, said to me, you'd love a wee drink of water. She said, Mr. McRae, I can't give it to him. I'd lose my job if I did. He's not allowed to have any fluids. I said, can you not give him? His mouth is so dry. And she came down, friend, and she had just a wee glass of water. And she put a spoon into it. And she dipped it in. And she went round his lips like a... That's all he could get. I never forget what he said. He says, Mr. McRae, I'd gladly give my wee farm for a glass of cold water. And I thought of a lost soul in hell. What must it be? I'd gladly give my wee farm for a glass of cold water. All this man asked for was a drop of water. But the answer was nay. No. You see, friend, hell's a place of unanswered prayers. And lastly, it's a place of utter hopelessness. It says, verse 26, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Yes, the gulf's fixed. And they that would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. No, friend. No hope. When a man's sick, the family hopes he'll get better. When the business goes down, the hope somehow the business will improve. But I want to tell you, friend, if you die in your sin, there's no hope. Gone forever. I remember visiting a wee woman. She'd come to our meetings. Her husband had died in an awful farm accident. He was nailed under a vehicle. That was before I came to Macrofelt, and shortly after he died, she gave birth to a wee child. She was expecting her baby at the time, and she gave birth to her child, and 6 months later, her wee baby died too. She came to many of my meetings, though she didn't belong to us. Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, many nights she sat and cried. The Spirit of God was speaking to her, but she didn't come. Some years later, I went on one of my visits to her home again, and remember sitting in her front her living room, lovely house. Sat there, and she sat there, and I sat there, and we started to talk together, and she said to me, "Mr. McRae, I want to ask you a question. Where's my husband?" I never met her husband, but I do know this, that he was reared in the gospel. And I do know this, that God didn't cut him off because he was lying under that vehicle and God gave him opportunity to turn and be saved, like the dying thief. I said, "My dear, if your husband was saved, he's with Jesus." She looked at me and she said, "Mr. McRae, my husband wasn't saved, and if what you're saying is true," the tears were running down her cheeks, she says, "my husband's in hell." I said, "My dear, let me tell you, your husband knew the gospel, and God did not cut him off, and you and I do not know what happened between him and God before he died." She said this, "Mr. McRae, if my husband's in hell, I want to go to hell too." And she was sitting crying there, and I was sitting crying there. And I said to her, "I have something to say to you. The Bible tells me that hell's a place of the blackness of darkness forever. There are no family reunions in hell." Thank God that night that woman fell on her knees and cried on God to save her. And she's in heaven. Tell me, friend, where are you going tonight? You're on the way. You're on the way now. Don't let the devil fool you. If you close your eyes on that seat where you are, friend, you'll be there. If you're saved, happy with the Lord. If you're unsaved, in the flames and torments of hell, and there's no coming back. Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom you'll serve." Who's it going to be? Christ or the devil? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, you know how it breaks my heart. Lord, my heart's heavy that men and women could sit under gospel preaching and still go out in their sin and die without Jesus. Families divided for eternity. sons and daughters in heaven and mums and dads in hell. Daddies and mummies in heaven and sons and daughters in hell. Forever separated. Lord, save them tonight. Lord Jesus, you stand at the sinner's heart. You long to be admitted to eternal life and part in its invitation time. Oh God, give them grace to come, run to Christ. Don't want let one be lost this night. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, and I thank you for your patience. I know the meeting's well over, but I want to make an invitation, just as I am without one plea. I can't leave this meeting without bringing it to the point of decision, friend. Two ways before you lie tonight, and each a choice must make. One upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. Will any choose that path of woe? Each soul must answer yes or no. What's your answer? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Ah, he bids you come tonight. Will you say, O Lamb of God, I come. And as we sing the verse, if there's a man, a woman, or a girl, and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Point me to Jesus, as this verse is sung. Indicate that desire, friend. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed, and I'm here as one that must give account. Would you lift that hand tonight? Say, yes, Christ for me, just